As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Monday, Moonday, December the 14th, live 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, always with good news, hard facts, and solutions for you. Some of them not too definitely workable, but nevertheless, we always advance that sort of stuff here. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism. We've got a lot of philosophically radical things to talk about today. But freedom here remains popular and is the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email, but I have to ask you to hold off on that for right now. I've got a computer that is down and out and in the shop, and hopefully we'll have it back up online later on this week. I have been told that it is repairable, so they are in the process and parts have been ordered. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. That good old snail mail, always reliable. Post Office, Box 96. Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener number call-in number remains throughout the broadcast at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. Today we're going to talk about Zionism, what it is and what it isn't. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into that market report from Monday, December the 14th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading up $5.30 an ounce at $1,120.40 an ounce. Silver up 5 cents in early trading at $17.18 an ounce. Platinum up $4 at $14.31. Palladium up $6, if I could read my screen correctly. Very difficult to see it this morning. $363 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,114.70 for a low, $1,128.60 for a high. At $1,120.40, your gold is up $300.80 year-to-year for a 36.75% return on your investment in that precious Arum gold metal. London Gold Fix this morning, the boys set the price at $1,120. You can see we're trading right on top of that now. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 66 to 10,472. The NASDAQ was off 1 at 2190, and the S&P 500 up 4 at 1,106. Crude oil this morning off 63 cents per barrel. That 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude delivered as it is in Oklahoma trades at $69.24 a barrel. And the USDX down 11 basis points at 76.47. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, December the 14th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is, again, William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. And as we like to say here, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Let's go out and finish that market report for Monday, the 14th, out of New York City, active trading as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time an hour ago. Gold, again, was trading up $5.30 at $1,120.40 an ounce. Silver was up 5 cents at $17.18 an ounce. Platinum up 4 at $14.31, and palladium up 6 at $3.63. $363 a troy ounce. Crude oil again off 63 cents in early trading on a barrel. $69.24 for those 42 gallon barrels of light sweet crude. You can do the math there and you can figure out where the bottom is on the price of gasoline these days. The USDX, of course, dropping 11 basis points, yet still very high at 76.47. will it go down to 71.18? It was supposed to hit there on October 1st, according to Robert Chapman, but it's certainly much higher than that right now. We'll see where it goes as time continues. The foreign exchange market, of course, is affected by that USDX, the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s product there. The Canadian dollar this morning, 49 basis points, trades at 94 cents U.S. The Mexican peso up 1 basis point, still trading at 8 cents. The multiplier there, if you're curious, is 12.8748 pesos per dollar. The euro up 3 basis points below that $1.50 mark, which is where it was at comfortably for a few weeks, but it's trading at $1.46 U.S. The British pound down 23 basis points at $1.62 U.S. And the Swiss franc lost its parity standing, moved back down now 3 full cents, trading at 97 cents U.S. It's moved up 12 basis points in early trading. In the bond market, the 2-year bond trades out. The yield there is 0.80%. The 10-year is at 3.53%. The 30-year is running at 4.47%. The 15-year mortgage this morning down a little bit from where it was a month ago at 4.63 is moving down to 4.51. The 30-year mortgage dropping a little bit in early trading, slight downward tick from 5.07% a month ago to 5.04 this morning. As I said in the opening, we're going to talk about Zionism today. Over the weekend, if any of you caught Jimmy X's broadcast, where he once again interviewed that venerable researcher out of Texas, I'll get his name in a minute. Boy, I just had a brain fart there. Anyway, you heard all about the new DVD that Tex Mar has put out. And Tex is always a good interview. He's got a lot of things to say. He's done a lot of research, written lots of books, put out lots of DVDs and videos. But he definitely has his crosshair set on Judaism, Israel, Zionism, Talmudism, and all things like that, much the same as Michael Collins, Piper, and others. But again, over the weekend, also heard from one of the callers on, I think it was Lee Rogers' broadcast, you know, hey, why don't we talk about Zionism? Why don't we talk about the Jews? Well, today we're going to start talking about that. There's really no reason not to. They're certainly very influential in the world affairs these days. So with that, we're going to go into what I'd like to consider to be just as far as we can on this first part of this week, a little bit about it. But on a programming note, I have asked or informed Vicki that due to the fact that my main computer is down and we're not we're running on a shoestring here, running on a laptop with a headset, that we'd have to cancel our Tuesday get-together. Hopefully we'll have my main computer back together and up again, and we'll be able to be joined once again on Thursday by Vicki Davis, but she won't be with us again tomorrow like she usually is, so we'll probably continue this discussion or something else tomorrow. But what is Zion? Let's start there first. Zion or Sion. It's this loftiest mount of Jerusalem and often used in biblical and other literature to designate the whole city and metaphorically the kingdom of God on earth and in heaven. Zion rises about 2,500 feet above the Mediterranean Valley, so you can see it's just kind of like a lump, small hill, and from 200 to 300 feet above the valleys at its base. So the land comes up from the Mediterranean Sea, rising as it does, and then it just takes a 200 to 300 foot jump, which is smaller than most of the small hills that you see around towns, especially like in the city of Seattle and other places. So it's a 200, 300 foot bump, but they call it Zion. It was separated from Acre on the north and Moriah on the northwest by the valley Tripopone, or something like that, Tyropone, and had the valley of Gibeon on the west, that of Hinnom on the south, and that of Kidron on the southeast. It was a fortified town of the Jebusites until it was subdued by David, and thenceforward is called the City of David. And it was originally known as Salem, and then it became Jerusalem, the new Salem, I guess you could say, or the city of David. A mosque near its southern brow now covers the tomb of David, so-called. This mount, together with Moriah and Ophel, was enclosed by the first wall and fortified by citadels. On it were erected the palaces of Solomon, and afterwards, long afterwards, those of Herod. At the present day, and this is out of the 1951 edition of the Encyclopedia Americana, at the present day, a considerable portion of it lies outside the modern wall on the south. That's Zion. Zion. And so Zionism is built off of that. It's a philosophy. There's a lot to it. In the Encyclopedia Americana, there's a lot of information on Jewish history and society, a colossal article, if you might say so, and it basically has 23 parts. It runs from the history of the traditional beginnings to the French Revolution, Judaism, the origins of Israel, the kings and the prophets, the expansion of Judaism, the world of the Talmud, or Talmud as some call it, within the ghetto walls, and then in the modern period, the history of the Jews of Europe from the 18th century to World War II, Hasidism, emancipation, the Haskalah, religious and philosophical movements, Yiddish language and literature, nationalism, anti-Semitism, Zionism, Jews in modern Palestine, and then the third section, sociological survey, the ethnic status of the Jewish group, religious traditions and customs, education, community organizations and social welfare, social and economic developments in the 19th and the 20th centuries, and Jews in the United States. Altogether too many of them, some would say. But anyway, it gives you an idea of the scope that you can find in an encyclopedia of quality writing. And it's interesting that of all of this, these 23 sections, they were all written basically by Jews. So it's a one-sided history, but who better to write about the Jews, I suppose, than Jewish men and certainly rabbis. And many of them authored these articles. Well, we'll pick it up there on the other side. We're going to look into Zionism, what it is and what it isn't. Be right back.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Two's Company, Three's Allowed, with your host, Sean.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sunday, 11 p.m. Central.
On the Oracle Broadcasting.
Now, certainly there's no end to the news that we could go into today, but I don't really don't want to cover too much. In fact, I don't really want to cover any of the news today. I want to focus our attention on this particular study. But we can find up on Bloomberg, Exxon to buy XTO for $31 billion in a bet on U.S. gas. ExxonMobil Corporation, the biggest U.S. oil company, agreed to buy XTO Energy Inc. for $31 billion. In a bet that U.S. emissions restrictions will spur increased demand for natural gas. So you can see that Exxon certainly looks forward to having this climate gate come out in their favor. Now, of course, there's a lot more discussion on that. Again, off of Bloomberg, developing countries say no money, no deal. In the climate talks, 4 days before 110 world leaders fly to Copenhagen to complete a deal to curb global warming, negotiators are far apart on aid to poorer countries and how to verify nations fulfill their pledges to reduce greenhouse gases. And, of course, in here, when they talk about developing countries, they're not talking about Togo and Lesotho. They're talking about India. They're talking about Brazil. They're talking about China. And if we need to bail those countries out, my God, haven't we bailed them out already? With all of that said, we'll go back over here, pick up this link over there. Trying to work a little bit off the computer more than I ordinarily would. But anyway, all right, let's go into the discussion. There's lots and lots and lots of material out there on Zionism. There's a lot of information out there on Judaism. As we have come further in the last 100 years towards giving them their place in the sun globally, more so than they have had in many years in the past, many centuries in the past, the writers are all over the place, and there's much information out there. But largely, their past is clouded in myth and history. Mythisteremia, I found a word there a long time ago, which really sums it up for me. Mythisteremia, and I'll just simply say it right up, that I have a bias, all right? And I'll try and keep my bias in check. My views don't necessarily agree with the other host's views on this network. They may not agree with the sponsors, so the things that I say are my own opinions and the sources that I cite. But I try and use the most credible sources of all in my library to bring you information so that my bias is my bias, but it shouldn't alter the quality of the information. You might have different opinions. I know a lot of people are really sweet on Israel. They like the Zionist movement, and they'd love to see Israel be the queen city of the earth, and that everything focuses on that. So that's their bias. Mine is different. With that said, let's go into Jewish history and society. Again, reading from the encyclopedias. Why? Well, because there's material that is found in these pages that you're not going to get any place else, not on Wikipedia, not on a lot of places. You're going to really have to dig and scratch to match the information that's found here. But what's even more important out of these articles are the places that they can point you to for further study. almost all good encyclopedias articles end with a bibliography. They'll talk about other places in the encyclopedia where you can go and look. You could think of them as hot links or links to other articles. And so you can work through a set of encyclopedias, and if you go through, you'll find that many of the people that are mentioned, the places, the dates, the occurrences, those also have completely separate companion articles. And if you wanted to go into a study, let's say, of Judaism and the Jews and Jewry, Zionism, you could be right inside of a set of encyclopedias like this, a comprehensive set, not a a grade school set, but even a grade school set, you could be in it for hours and hours, if not days and days of reading. So they're useful tools. Here's how it begins: Jewish History and Society. This symposium, again, now this is this colloquy of writings here, 23 articles in total. This symposium, intended to constitute a balanced account of events and movements in Jewish history, of concepts and institutions in Jewish religion, of the historical interrelation between Jewish religion and society, and of the sociological structures in the main Jewish communities, is divided into 23 sections, which appear below. Additional and related material may be found in separate articles on Hebrew language and literature, Hebrew music, Israel, and Palestine. So there's many places to go to find out more information, and each of these articles is just chuck-a-luck full of additional places to study. From the encyclopedias, you can then branch out into the authors and the various people that are discussed and named in these articles. Many of the articles, many of the authors are also contributors, the contributing authors. You can also find articles about them and their lives. And so you get a better understanding of who's writing, who's saying, and so on and so forth, the deeper into these things you study. Let's go into this. I'm not going to go through a considerable lot of information here, because there's many, many pages. We're talking 23 sections, and there's a huge, so it's almost a couple of inches thick in this encyclopedia volume, all about this issue, this particular symposium. But we can start in around here for just an interesting point, and this is, even after the temple fell, now this is 66 AD, we've really made a huge jump forward. We haven't talked about Babylon. But even after the temple fell, sporadic resistance continued in Palestine. One fortress, Masada, resisted for 3 years, and before it fell, the defenders slew each other so as not to be taken prisoner. That's just one sentence. One sentence about one very, very important time period and occurrence. And if you go back and look in the early King James Bible, when they had the apocryphal documents sewn into the center of them, and read about the Maccabees and the revolution there, you can also find information that will point you towards Masada. M-A-S-A-D-A. Masada. And if you'll do a web search on that, you'll find that it's very interesting, and that Masada, this mountain fortress, has been reconditioned as is a tourist spot in modern day Israel. You know, the whole place has been set up like Disneyland. It's incredible. Anyway, it's a tourist spot nowadays, I suppose. But Masada is very interesting. Very interesting. It was basically just a mutual suicide where they had kind of held up in this on this mountain fortress for during the siege, and were under siege, and when finally their fortifications were breached and in came the Romans and whoever else was with them, they committed suicide one at a time. A father would cut the throat of his wife and cut the throat of his children, then hand the knife to his neighbor, and that man would cut that other man's throat and then proceed to kill his wife and his children and hand the knife and so on. But you can imagine that in a group suicide like that, there will be one man standing. And I would just ask you to go back and study the writings and see if you can figure out who that last man standing was. And did he kill himself? Or did he escape? So we'll just continue along here. The Babylonian center. The Babylon is very important, understanding Judaism and Zionism, insofar as that Babylon was a stronghold for the Jews for a long time. The Babylonian center. Babylon had never ceased to be an important center since the 6th century BC, when the kingdom of Judah had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Augmented by exiles and colonists, the population kept increasing until a compact community of many hundreds of thousands had grown up. This idea of compact communities is going to come to be a modern theme. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Happy holidays from all of us here at Oracle Broadcasting.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit tpr20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On tpr20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit tpr20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's tpr20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy Sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy Sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy Sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy Sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's diginet.net. diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet spy products today. Because video never lies.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And it must be noted right away in this readings from this particular encyclopedia that they do make the confuse the issue between the Hebrew, or the people from the other side, the Hebrew, and Jews, using the phrase Jew in replacement of just about everything Hebrew or Hebrew. So that's a bias on the from the standpoint of the authors, but of course that's in keeping with modern myth hysteremia of the people themselves. But going into this, and not to discredit the academic quality of some of this material, it seems to be pretty upright so we can deal with it. But again, this is almost all exclusively written by Hebrew or Jewish authors, and those, of course, could be Ashkenazim, they could be Sephardim, they could be the Murano, they could be just about anybody. Really, to understand that, he drops in here and says, the Jews, on the other hand, were almost completely dispersed. For all the centuries following the destruction of their state in Palestine, they had no common land and in time no common language, yet they remained a people. Their secret lay in a common religious faith and an unshaken belief in their indestructibility. In the thousands of years that followed the destruction of the state and the temple, the Jews converted memories and traditions into what Heinrich Heine has brilliantly termed, quote, a portable fatherland. In other words, no matter where they go, there they are. There's another period that's important to understand here, too, and that's the Alexandrian era. Long before an evil fate befell the Jewish settlers of Palestine, there were far-flung Jewish settlements in every corner of the world. They were to be found in the Mesopotamian Valley, in northern Syria, in the Greek islands, and in Rome itself. The most influential Jewish community outside of Palestine was in Egypt. The Jewish philosopher Philo estimated that nearly a quarter of a million Jews were scattered up and down the Nile in his own day at the beginning of the Christian era. In Alexandria, which boasted a population of 1 million, two of its five sections were almost exclusively Jewish. Here, Jews rose to a high estate and lived happy, thriving lives. They were profoundly influenced by the civilization of the Mediterranean world. Greek became their common speech. Greek ideas and customs permeated their lives, but they retained the essentials of the Jewish heritage, even though its transmission now came through Greek language and format. And this is the period of the Septuagint, the translation of the scriptures into Greek. And it goes down and continues. There's lots more here. The Jews of Babylon, back to Babylon, Babylon and Egypt. The Jews of Babylon were among the wealthiest caravan merchants and the most skilled artisans. In the countryside, they were successful as farmers, cattle breeders, and landowners. They formed a virtually autonomous unit. Autonomous is a word that comes up time and time again. If you think that Israel is the only place for the Jews on the planet, you would be mistaken. There's also the Jewish Autonomous Oblast, the capital of which is Berobidzhan, that exists even today. Let's go to a caller. We've got a caller here. We'll just try everything this morning. And good morning, caller. I'm waiting. Speak up, caller. From the 239 area. Go ahead and speak up. I can't quite hear you. Okay, we're going to have to drop the 239 caller. Feel free to call back in again. I'm working on a laptop with a headset on, and so I can't hear very well. But at the same time, I wasn't able to hear your voice on the phone at all. So if you'd like to try and call back in again, I'll gladly bring you right up on air just as quickly as I did then. So going back in again, they formed a virtually autonomous unit, and their head, known as the Rosh Galutha, or the Prince of Captivity, or Exilarch. Here's this Ark again, Archons, Archis, the Codrus, and all of that. Their Exilarch was accorded almost royalty honors. Inevitably, in such a background, the intellectual life of the Jews flourished. There were famous schools and academies in Babylon, which became the center of the Jewish world, supplanting the schools of Palestine. This was the period when the Talmud, or Talmud as some call it, was created, that vast compendium of post-biblical Jewish learning, which was the product of the genius of hundreds of scholars, many Babylonians. And then it continues. Of course, the Jewish Talmud plays a very major role in much of what is Jewishness today. Drop down a little bit further here. It gets into the Muslim conquests and things like that. Babylon itself was conquered in 637. A few years later, all of the once magnificent Persian Empire was in Muslim hands. The new conquerors, after the first impetuous sweeps, were tolerant and did not compel their subjects to abandon their religious faith. This is a fact of history that the modern-day Ashkenazim in Israel seem to have forgotten, and they don't tolerate anybody else's religious faith. That's for sure. Jews continued to live undisturbed, and the period from the 8th century until the close of the 11th was a kind of golden age, unprecedented for peace, freedom, and creative achievement. Whatever happened to that Islamic fascist idea? At that time, it was non-existent. The climax was reached in the time of Saadia, one of the greatest Jewish scholars who dominated the intellectual life of the 10th century. Saadia was not only profoundly influenced Jewish religious thinking, but he also laid the groundwork for some of the best work of St. Thomas Aquinas and other Catholic philosophers. And that's important, because St. Thomas Aquinas and the other Catholic philosophers were faced with a conundrum. There was, because of the large number of Moors, if you will, the Muslims, the Mahomets in Spain and elsewhere in Western Europe, there was an enlightenment basically happening. The Neoplatonism was coming on. People were beginning to have access in their own tongues, in languages they could understand, the writings of the Greeks. And when they started to come across the writings of Plato and Cicero, Socrates, of course, and Aristotle, the apple carts of Catholicism started to get upturned. And so St. Thomas Aquinas went very busy in his Summa Theologica to try and rectify or bring together, harmonize, if you will, the teachings of the Church and the teachings of the Greeks. A lot was happening at that time. Dropping down further here, the rise and the fall of Jewish life in Spain. We talked about that the other day. We talked about the introduction of the Fuggers. But there was certainly a lot to understand about the rise and fall of Jewish life in Spain. Let's just get a little bit, just for background. Unhappily, however, Christianity was often badly interrupted or interpreted by the rulers, and wherever the cross was triumphant, it meant repression for the Jews. The culmination of a century of violent persecution came under Egica, E-G-I-C-A, I don't know how you pronounce that person's name, E-G-I-C-A, who reigned from 687 to 701, who confiscated the possessions of the Jews, reduced them to the status of slaves, and prohibited the practice of their faith. Of course, you remember back when we talked about the various persecutions of the Inquisitions and whatnot, coming into the time of Alexander VI, the Borgia Pope. We'll find him mentioned in this article as well. There was a lot of shaking going on in Europe. The Albigensians and others, everybody was either convert or die. That was their whole Catholic program. The Muslims held Spain for nearly 7 centuries, 700 years, my friends. How long have we been on this continent? The Muslims held Spain for nearly 7 centuries. It was an enlightened domination, marked by material prosperity and cultural and scientific brilliance. It proved to be a blessed era for the ever-increasing Jewish population, which entered very fully into the life of the country. Many of the Jews became landowners and financiers, others prominent physicians and statesmen. They took advantage of the exceptional cultural opportunities and made important contributions to medieval civilization by serving as the intermediaries between Arab and Christian learning. The go-between guys. The happy union of Hebrew and Muslim culture produced a renaissance in literature, philosophy, science, and religion. Even architecture flourished. Some of the most beautiful churches of Spain today once served as synagogues and received the prayers of a proud and well-established Jewish community, in case you didn't know. drop down. There's several of them. I can't pronounce all of these names, and I haven't read all of their writings either, but there are a few great names that are listed here. One of them that stands out is Maimonides. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we're just blowing through a little bit of history here, Jewish history, that is, Jewish history and society, the history thereof, right out of the Americana, the Encyclopedia Americana, under the article of the same title. And so it gives us a little bit of an understanding, a little bit of a background, and I can tell you that I'm just racing through this lengthy article. So much more could be said, and they have certainly written it here, but Maimonides... And for those of you that don't know who he is, Maimonides, Maimonides, wrote a book, The Guide for the Perplexed. It's a very, very interesting book to read. I have it in my library, studied it for a couple of months, actually. Very interesting take on things. And for Bible students and all people religious, it's an important work. It should be put into your library, Maimonides, A Guide for the Perplexed. His writings illuminated the 12th century, and he was the most influential philosopher in Jewish history. By the 14th century, however, the sands of good fortune were running out for the Jews. The Spanish peninsula was being gradually reclaimed by Christian arms. Each new Christian kingdom that emerged meant for Moors and Jews alike an end to the policy of benevolence. The turning point came in 1391 when riots broke out in Seville. The Jewish quarters were burned and several thousand Jews slaughtered. These riots spread like a plague to every large city in Spain, bringing great suffering to all Jews. It continues, obviously, until 1391, those Jews who turned to Christianity were welcomed with open arms. And after the riots, whole communities went to the baptismal font to escape death. Obviously, their Christianity was only a facade, and most of the converts remained loyal to Judaism, practicing their ancestral faith in secret. And this is a practice that in many countries continues to this day. Protected by baptism, they rose to the highest positions in commerce and in the professions, in the universities, and even in the church. They became known as the Muranos, probably the damned or the swine, and roused blazing hatred in the hearts of the Christian neighbors, for old Christians sensed the truth that the majority of the converts were still Jews at heart. There, you can find the Kol Nidre vow and find out a little bit more about that as well. Dropping down further in the article, in 1483, Torquemada, one of the great fanatics of history, was made chief inquisitor. He determined to root out Moranism, and while he was about it, to be forever rid of all Jews. He finally persuaded King Ferdinand, you remember Ferdinand and Isabella. He finally persuaded King Ferdinand to sign an edict expelling the Jews from the land, giving them 4 months to leave Spain. In August of 1492, the mournful exodus began. And I heard a rabbi on the radio shortwave one time talking about how the Jews were casting about in rowboats trying to leave Spain as Christopher Columbus's ship sailed out, and he wouldn't take them on board. Again, at least 150,000 Jews, some estimates go as high as 500,000. It all depends on whether you're using Jewish math, of course. The backbone of Spanish commercial and intellectual life were driven out, of course, no matter where you read it, they're always the backbone of commercial and industrial life. Intellectual life. But they are an intelligent people. There's no doubt about it. They have spent all of their lives in education and learning, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that as we go on. In 1492, Columbus sailed the oceans blue. In 1496, the Borgia Pope, Alexander VI, bestowed upon Ferdinand and Isabella the title of the Catholic Sovereigns, enumerating among their services the expulsion of the Jews. Then it goes into darkness in the medieval Europe. Open season on the Jews of Europe began in earnest with the First Crusade of 1096, going backwards in time here. Whatever else they signify, the Crusades marked the end of settled Jewish community life in Europe. Dropping down a bit further here, the church now stepped in to further point up this degraded status. Pope Innocent III, in 1215, decreed that all Jews were to wear a distinctive garment or a special badge to set them apart from other men. And so you can see, remember the photographs you've seen of the Jews wearing the yellow caps or the yellow stars in Adolf Hitler's Germany. Well, there was nothing new about that. In 1239, Pope Gregory IX denounced the Talmud as a distortion of the Bible and a blasphemy on God and Jesus. He ordered all copies of the Talmud to be seized and burned, and his example was emulated in every part of Europe. So we're creating this animosity, this separatism, if you will. Already in 1290, England had expelled its Jews. France followed in 1306, again in 1322, when a few thousand had drifted back, and finally in 1394. 400 years, and now pass as the nightmare began, hounded by successions of crusaders, by the restrictions of the church councils, the hatred of churchmen and Jew-baiters, the Black Death and the libels which it engendered. Jewish life at the opening of the 15th century was a hopeless, broken thing. Yet, in all the desert of horror, there was a few blessed oases. Turkey opened its doors, gladly welcoming refugees from Spain, Portugal, and the duchies of Germany. Soon, Constantinople was host to the largest Jewish settlement in Europe. Poland, too, under easygoing princes, extended hospitalities to the harried Jews of Germany. Another new center of Jewish life began as the Jewish population in Poland increased in the years between 1501 and 1648 from 50,000 to 1,500,000. The disunity of medieval Italy made it possible for many thousands of Jewish exiles to settle in the more liberal provinces, which did not share the bigotry of the rest of Europe. Late in the 16th century, a new refuge opened, unexpectedly, in the gallant little Dutch Republic, which, after long travail, had won its independence from Catholic Spain. England, too, joined the narrow roster of hospitable states which Oliver Cromwell, in 1657, consented to Jewish resettlements. And so then it continues. The Jews were mainly confined to ghettos. Restricted in economic and social life, existence was precarious even in the lands of modest hospitality. Nowhere did the Jews enjoy the blessings of citizenship. I'll repeat that, nowhere did the Jews enjoy the blessings of citizenship, although they run this country. Whatever happiness they found was in their internal social and religious organization. Very important. All of this is very important. Background to understanding what is Zionism and what it's not. They had a long ways to go, even when political emancipation finally came, before they could bridge the gap that would make them full Europeans. Now, we've hastily rushed very fast through about almost 2,000 years. Interestingly enough, in the bibliography that follows here, I don't find any document referred to or referenced that is written after 1942. So this is all pre-creation of the State of Israel documentation writing. Then it goes into Judaism, historical monotheism. We're going to let that go, the origins of Israel, and we'll just turn over here to a brief article in regards to Zionism and other influences. The rise of Zionism, well, let me go back over here. I should pick it up a little bit earlier than that. I really do want to mention this fellow a couple of times today and perhaps tomorrow as well. But Martin Buber, I guess we should go philosophical Judaism, the conservatism, and reformism. Philosophical Judaism recognizes two sources of authority, revelation and human reason, that which is revealed to man, and that which is reasoned out, logic, etc. The conflict between the two guiding principles needs to be examined anew in every age so that a workable synthesis may be achieved. Maimonides' maxim, "The gates of interpretation are not closed to us," is a perfect expression of the fundamental attitude of philosophical Judaism. The gates of interpretation are not closed to us. From that, we can understand the common law, the common law of England, the common law in this country, the whole idea of stare decisis, the idea that the Supreme Court justices, the gates of interpretation are not closed to them. They interpret the law. They find the law and they make the law, as opposed to following the letter or the rule of law. But there's more to that. We'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this break and be back on the other side. Stay with us.
A
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Moon Day, December the 14th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. We'll definitely come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, going back in, let's just pick up a little bit from the declaration. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. It's kind of a rather similarity in all of this to the Jews. But when we think about the laws of nature and of nature's God, the idea of the natural law, we've got to understand that natural law in itself developed slowly. And much of it is understood as the revealed law. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote on it, Hugo Grotius, Samuel Pufendorf, many others in the early natural law authors, if you will, the development of the natural law. And it was out of this natural law, and of course the Hebrew law, the laws of Moses, the laws out of the Bible, that much of what became English common law can trace its origins. Of course, you also have to pick up the Wittagemont, etc., in Germany as part of the development of the common law. But in all of that, we can understand from Maimonides' maxim that the gates of interpretation are not closed to us, where it's a perfect expression of the fundamental attitude of philosophical Judaism. Faith in the human mind is in no whit subordinate to faith in divine revelation. So there are those things that are revealed, and there's those things that are discerned through reason, logic, rhetoric, and the other things that I shared with you that make up the fundamentals of modern Freemasonry. Much of that Freemason stuff goes right back to the Egyptians and Babylon as well. I'm not going to go into who was Albert Pike and how Kabbalistic this Freemasonry actually is, but in today we'll just stick with this. So faith in human mind is in no way, again, subordinate to the faith in divine revelation. And as our caller often calls in from Dallas, Lark, he's brought to our attention the writings of Amitai Etzioni and the establishment of communitarian law. We've already seen that the Hebrews ghettoed up no matter where they went. They liked the idea of compact cities, sustainable development, if you will. Certainly is traceable. But the idea there is such that they live in under a community law, a community separate unto themselves oft times. And so, all of that. We're not going to understand communitarianism if we don't understand some of the philosophical Judaism, the conservatism and the reformism, and especially some of those that were the neocons, neocantians, if you will, Immanuel Kant, and, of course, Martin Buber. Martin Buber is very important in all of this. But before we get into him, we'll just simply say this again. In many details of Jewish ceremonial practice, the early reformists took up the anti-ritualistic attitude in the belief that undue emphasis on the external ritual was bound to detract from the purity of ethical monotheism, which it was Israel's mission to represent, ethical monotheism. The conservatives argued that the Jewish faith was an organic product of a long historical process, that no changes in religious observance should be introduced, which are not in accord with the psychic structure of Jewish piety as it is reflected in the living conscience of World Israel. World Israel, an international body. We'll be back. Stay with us.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we have returned once again, and understanding that there are philosophical underpinnings to just about everything that drives the world, let's find out just a little bit more about the idea of ethical monotheism as it is expounded in modern Jewish philosophy. Again, I'm reading and referring to the Jewish History and Society, Religious and Philosophical section, found in a lengthy colloquy or symposium of articles of 23 in length, found in the Encyclopedia Americana, volume 16, published back in 1951, the last publication, but of course the earliest ones were back in the 20s. So these articles may have had a much earlier origin, and then they're just added to as the editors edit each new edition. But we find this: the content of ethical monotheism, as it is expounded in modern Jewish philosophy, may be summarized in the following three propositions. One, God is other than and transcendent to the physical forces of nature. God is other than and transcendent to the physical forces of nature. Two, the will of God is to evolve ethically perfect beings and an ethically perfect society through the processes of history. The will of God is to evolve ethically perfect beings and an ethically perfect society through the processes of history. Three, the will of God is reflected in the moral conscience of man, who is free and innately capable of submitting to divine guidance and achieving the divinely destined goal. Mystical Judaism. Mystical Judaism is the third basic current in Jewish thought. Its conception of faith is primarily a matter of inner experience, not of inherited tradition or independent reflection. These, or there, are two types of Jewish mystical religion, depending upon whether it is a derivative of dogmatic or of philosophical Judaism. The former type is represented chiefly in the Hasidic movement. For our purpose, it is important to note that the Neo-Hasidic or Neo-Mystical philosophies of Martin Buber, Franz Rosenzweig, and A.I. Cook will be mentioned. Now, before we go much further, let us also understand that there are at least two branches, if you will, of Judaism, or Jewry, modern Jewry. Everybody is well aware of the term Ashkenazim. You can go back to Genesis and see that there's no relationship between Ham and the children, if you will, in the early writings, and the Ashkenazim. You can read about it in Genesis. I don't have the quotes in front of me. But anyway, so the Ashkenazim, then, that makes the whole discussion of a man named, I believe, Raymond Kapp in his book, The 13th Tribe. Kostler's book. I have it in my library. I haven't looked at it in a long time. But The 13th Tribe, this is basically these people who say they're Jews, and they are not. They have adopted a form of Judaism. They have adopted a cloak of Judaism. And about 70% of the people, according to at least to my Berlitz language course on Hebrew, 70% or greater of the people that live in modern-day Israel, are actually Ashkenazim, have absolutely no relationship to the original inhabitants. They're just Jews who say they are Jews, but they are not. Anywho, when we're talking about Judaism in this regard, we may not be talking about that bunch of Ashkenazim. They may be existing in another sphere, if I will. But it's very important to understand modern communitarianism, which impacts us every single day of our lives today. This whole idea of communitarian law brought forth by Amitai Etzioni. You'll find much about him on the internet. Nikki Rapana's website is a good place to go to get the anti-communitarian information. But Martin Buber plays an important role in this. But again, there's this line of philosophers. And it's difficult to just jump in someplace midstream. Let's say you pick up with Amitai Etzioni and you don't realize where his mental heritage and roots lie. But if you go back and start with Immanuel Kant, for instance, and his categorical imperative, and follow from Kant into Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, who everyone remembers the dialectic, but they don't remember his state. But you go there, his disciple, Immanuel Kant's disciple, Hegel, and then you go from that to Feuerbach, and Feuerbach was a disciple of Hegel, but they had a schism. Feuerbach was a total atheist, and Feuerbach was, one of his disciples was Martin Buber. And so I'll just read you a little bit about Martin Buber, but before I do, I can just simply say that Martin Buber taught in the university in Israel, modern day, and Amitai Etzioni was one of his early students. Amitai Etzioni then came over to the University of California, Berkeley, I believe. Then he went to Columbia, and then he went off to Georgetown or someplace else. Anyway, got to understand the chain, if you will, of philosophical underpinning. Martin Buber, born in 1878, and at the time of this writing still alive, I don't think he is any longer, is entirely unconcerned with Jewish law or with any of the particularized forms of Jewish religious expression. You see, you can see the grains of this atheism that's going on here. The I-thou relationship between man and God, he feels, can be established and maintained as a living and fructifying experience apart from any ritualistic exercises. The I-thou. Remember when we were talking about the symposium from Princeton 1955, where we were looking at this I-thou, I-it relationship that so transformed our ideas of urban planning and central planning back in the 50s, that we find it traced to the writings of Martin Buber. Okay? You understand that. So anyway, going on, he says, it is Buber's lifelong ambition to develop the art of mystical reflection as an independent and undogmatic discipline directed toward the creation of ideal forms of social living. Ideal forms of social living. Don't we have so many ideal forms of social living being visited upon us today by the change agents as they seek to take us away from private property, our relationship with the land, and connect us up in some autonomous state or something? Communitarian law, the International Property Maintenance Code, the International Building Codes, FEMA's All Hazard Mitigation Planning Program, centralized planning, etc., a mystical reflection as an independent and undogmatic discipline directed toward the creation of ideal forms of social living. View Zeitgeist, the film, the movie, parts one and parts two. Well, we'll pick it up right there on the other side. A lot more to come. Digging into the theological and philosophical background of Zionism.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we can understand then from Martin Buber the mindset of an Amitai Etzioni who is intent upon all of this community, the community organizer, Barry the Usurper, all of this communitarian stuff just flows. It's steeped in all of this mysticism. Franz Rosenzweig, another one. Well, no, I should finish it out properly. The intense nationalist emphasis in Buber's writings is a typical illustration of the multiple mystical bonds of unity which he recognizes as operative in the society of mankind. Again, the multiple mystical bonds of unity as operative in the society of mankind. Except for this nationalist Zionist slant, Buber's thought is representative of the reformist position. There are many positions here. Franz Rosenzweig, another one. Rosenzweig strongly opposed the Zionist philosophy and program. He lived from 1886 to 1929. It was his belief that the Jew was divinely destined to be a perpetual ferment in world society. A perpetual ferment in world society. Israel gave up land, language, and sovereignty, clinging instead to the law of God. This exchange turned Israel into a non-historical people living in the world yet not wholly of it. Non-historical, historical revisionist probably, but that's my opinion. Again, this exchange turned Israel into a non-historical people, living in the world, yet not wholly of it. To be of the world, but not part of the world, I guess the Bible would say. Every phase of Jewish existence is directly related to this original consecration as, quote, a people of priests and a holy nation, close quote. Little Bible there for you. The Jew makes his covenant with God not as an individual, but as a son of his people. This is Rosenzweig's approach. Dropping down further, there's an Abraham I. Kook, or Kook, a Kook, 1864 to 1935, the former chief rabbi of Palestine, was the outstanding philosopher of Orthodox Judaism in the 20th century, a rare and genuine mystic. He attempted a synthesis between the teachings of the Kabbalah and the Bergsonian school of creative evolution. His writings reveal a type of religious consciousness that is centered around profound and invigorating states of mystical ecstasy. Whirling dervishes, probably. He described the various ceremonies of Judaism as so many instruments for the expression of the divine melody of faith. Here's a quote, as there are laws in poetry, so there is poetry in laws, he wrote. Of course, if you look at some of the laws that they've written in the last 100 years in America, it'd be hard to find poetry in that. He believed that the phenomena of prophecy was not confined to ancient times, and that the uplifting grace of God was embodied in every creative endeavor of man. Well, as a Kabbalist, Kabbalah, he maintained that the prescribed rites of Orthodox Judaism possessed the mystical power to invoke divine grace and to channel it down from heaven to earth. They channel, all right. What they're channeling may or may not be good for the people on the planet. In the reestablishment of Palestine as a Jewish homeland, he saw the promise of a revival of the prophetic genius of Israel that would rejuvenate the religions of mankind. Oh, yeah. They're going to rejuvenate the religions of all of mankind. Zionism and other influences. Here we go into the topic for today. The rise of Zionism in the past half century affected profoundly the religious consciousness of modern Jews. On the one hand, it offered a secularist, cultural, political definition to the term Jewish. Did you catch that? On the one hand, it offered a secularist, cultural, political definition to the term Jewish. Thus, it seemed to some of its adherents to be an adequate substitute for Judaism. Who's the Jew? Now, on the other hand, it strengthened the centripetal forces within the Jewish group, thereby rendering the Jewish religion invaluable service. What is this centripetal forces? Remember in the past we talked about that, reading from the writings of the Tavistock Institute, the idea of the edge theory, the idea of political parties, the idea of taking power to the edge, centripetal, as opposed to centrifugal, where all power is centered in a strong federal government. It's taken to the edge. It's the beginnings. It's the grain. It's the kernel of localism. And as we become vocal local, we block the localist program right where we find it, as it comes into our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. Very important to understand what is centripetal and find it here used in the first paragraph in an article on Zionism. Again, on the other hand, it strengthened the centripetal forces within the Jewish group, thereby rendering the Jewish religion invaluable service. Remember, they're community-driven. They like ghettos. They hole up here, there, and everywhere. Gated communities come to mind. Right. Classical reform which at its inception was bent upon the elimination of every vestige of national symbolism and sentiment from the Jewish faith, was impelled by the influence of Zionism to adopt a more moderate attitude in its revised official platform of 1937. So you can go back and browse around a little bit and see if you could find this official platform of 1937 for classical Reform Judaism. Conservative Judaism drew additional strength. Both classical and revised Reform congregations are now to be found in the United States. We have both classical and revised Reform congregations in the United States. Conservative Judaism, that could be neo-cons, Judaism drew additional strength from the movement of cultural Zionism, which emphasized the spiritual qualities of Jewish nationhood and instilled a genuine, though qualified, respect for the historical forms of Jewish religious experience. The Reconstructionist movement is a direct result of the impact of Zionism upon American Jewish scene. The Reconstructionists, Reconstruction, that'd be after the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, the Reconstructionist definition of Judaism as the, quote, evolving religious civilization of the Jewish people. Isn't it nice to be part of their evolving religious civilization? Makes the element of nationality substantive and that of religion adjectival in the pattern of Jewish values. The element of nationality is substantive and that of religion is adjectival in Jewish values, religion being but an adjective of their experience. The Reconstructionist view is directly opposite to that of classical Reform, which sought to eliminate from Judaism all traces of particularistic loyalties. On the periphery of Judaism, there are many thinkers who cherish the ethical kernel of Judaism and reject its ceremonial and organizational shells. So much to know, so little time to share. We'll be back.
Always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we've returned once again, and we're going to close out this little section that we're working on and move over to a different source. Certainly a lot more that we could go into, no doubt about it. But on the periphery of Judaism, there are many thinkers who cherish the ethical kernel of Judaism and reject its ceremonial and organizational shells. Representative of this trend of thought on the American scene was one Felix Adler, lived from 1851 until Roosevelt stole the gold in 1933. Founder of the ethical culture movement, who began his career as a rabbi and later disavowed all connections with Judaism. So you can put on the garment and you can lay the garment aside. In modern Israel, there are many cooperative settlements. Those would be the kibbutz. Yeah. Many cooperative settlements, communities, if you will, gated communities, walled communities, to say the least, organized along the idealistic lines of Jewish ethics. In other words, robbing from Peter to pay Paul, robbing from the people of the United States of America to underwrite them to the tunes of billions of year. Billions and billions of dollars have gone into building these little cooperative settlements. Self-sufficiency on the Jewish program, of course. Organized along the idealistic lines of Jewish ethics, dedicated to the religion of labor. Quote unquote, the religion of labor. Oh, yeah. And rejecting any direct allegiance to the religion of Israel. What is this religion of labor? Well, we'll have to go into maybe a little bit of Barry Kamish and Shabtai Zvi, labor Zionism and the Holocaust, to find out more about that. But before we leave this text, I'll just simply say that in this set of encyclopedias and in this particular article, the next article, we'll find several references to this. Of the 6 million Jews exterminated by the Germans in World War II, over two-thirds constituted the backbone of the Yiddish-speaking groups. You'll notice that the word Holocaust is not mentioned. In 1951, the term Holocaust hadn't been invented yet. The Holocaust industry was still in formation. But in just a few articles, one on World War II, and here in this book, in this section, this symposium or compendium, colloquy, you find this term, the 6 million Jews exterminated by the Germans, of course. There is no mention here of all of the millions and millions that were exterminated under Trotsky and under Lenin, Vladimir, and under Joseph Stalin in his war of extermination, but they do mention the 6 million Jew number, which I find rather interesting. I'm always looking for the 6 million Jews. Now let's go and see if we can go live and pick up Lark in Dallas.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Lark.
How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good.
Well, I I had to call in and first of all tell you once again how much I enjoy your readings. I think it's a very important compendium that you're compiling there for the record. Especially appreciate the access to the archives. I think it's anybody who wants to understand how we got to where we are today in our society needs to have this background, and you provide that in spades.
Well, as you can probably imagine, Lark, it's a tough job for me to do because there's just absolutely so much to bring out that trying to cram it into a one-hour or a two-hour broadcast is impossible. And if it wasn't for the Oracle platform and the archives where people can come back time and time again, I wouldn't have the opportunity to make six or seven or eight or ten broadcasts in a row all on the same subject.
Well, I understand. The reason I called today, Will, is because I wanted you to introduce just a few keywords into the thread of inquiry that you're pursuing today.
Go ahead.
Again, just for the record. You mentioned briefly communitarianism, and in the same breath, almost as in the topic of today's discussion, Zionism.
Correct.
There are some other isms that are useful to introduce, or at least bring forth. Those words are kibbutzism,
mm-hmm.
communalism,
yep,
metropolitism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were several competing visions for America and its founding. But one thing that I have never heard discussed, which I have a thread that I have followed, is that in Plato's Republic, of course, we all say, "Well, we have a republic here." Recall the famous story from our history where the woman asked one of the founding fathers, "What have we here?" And the gentleman replied, "We have a republic if we can keep it."
Correct.
But again, there was competing visions for America and the definition for that republic. One thing that I read recently is that in Plato's Republic, what you actually had is a system of communism.
Yes.
Led by so-called philosopher kings.
Correct.
Another interesting thing that I took note of recently is that both Plato, Aristotle, and Hegel were all Kabbalists.
Very likely. I can't be sure that Plato was a Kabbalist. That I haven't found. I haven't read any of the direct references to the Kabbalah. I have most of the extant writings, but I have them in translation, so I don't have the original tongues nor the ability to facilitate it. But I haven't found any direct reference to the Kabbalah.
Where that can be found online, just FYI,
mm-hmm.
is a search for the keywords Plato the Kabbalist, spelled out.
Okay, Plato the Kabbalist.
The gentleman that has explored that in depth wrote the book The Dying God.
All right,
and
great.
What was his name? Yeah, his name was David Livingstone. You can go to davidlivingstone.com.
All right.
Plato the Kabbalist.
All right.
But finally, because I don't want to, I hate interrupting your train of discussion. It's so fascinating. There was a gentleman in history by the name of Wilhelm Wundt. Wundt, and that's spelled W-U-N-D-T.
Yes.
He was also Jewish, but he is the founder of so-called experimental psychology.
Okay.
Very interesting how these threads come together from prehistory through Roman times into the modern era. And Wilhelm Wundt, W-N-D-T, founder of experimental psychology, is a very interesting connection that we could perhaps explore on a future show.
Yes, I've read some of the material that he has written, but I've only read it as excerpts in along with other material in a text.
Well, anyway, I don't want to interrupt further. I hope what I have provided is helpful for the record.
Absolutely. You know, Kibbutzism, communalism, metropolitanism, you can add to that cosmopolitanism, internationalism, all of these isms, they're all related. They go back. They have a lot of their roots, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. But they have their roots in a much earlier time period, prior to and then following the period of walled cities, which now we're talking great antiquity, and it comes forward from there. The whole idea of feudalism, much the same. So we see these threads. We can pick up metropolitanism and cosmopolitanism in Venice and Florence, in Rome, other places around the Mediterranean. Certainly the Greek city-states, there's no doubt about that. Sparta as well. Turkey as well. There's places, Alexandria, there are other lots of them. But all of these things are interrelated, and I'm glad that you bring it out, because we need to understand the world using the correct glasses, I think, as opposed to the limited, ignorant, arrogant, unfortunately dumbed down, and deliberately so, American lens that our media would have us gaze through.
Well, regarding Zionism, I've always been fascinated by history. Most of my life has been given over to studying how it is that enmity arises and then festers and then becomes ingrained in societies over time.
Well, the Bible teaches that a people divided, a house divided against itself, cannot stand, and a nation divided against itself shall surely fall. The idea of being able to divide us in along political party lines, all of that stuff is all about division. It's not about unity. Folks, if you like, you can stay on the line. We'll be back in just a few minutes, folks. We're going into a break.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, struggling along as we are on a laptop with a headset on today. Hope you can tolerate the sound, then it's coming out well enough for you. Going into a continuation of our study on Zionism, and certainly this is just scratching the surface. I have books stacked around me, several deep all around me, on this particular subject without even really getting into the deeper meanings of what's going down. But I want to shift gears. We've been reading from Yaakov August, who was an author and a rabbi out of Baltimore, Maryland, in the Encyclopedia Americana, Volume 16. And I want to switch gears here. I'm going to go over to the Führer's professors, back to the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. This is a little different style of writing. Definitely more interesting in some regards, but nonetheless important. This article, titled Zionism, is the way that they style it, and it's in many pages long. It was written by Hans Kohn, and Hans Kohn and Robert Welsch wrote Zionist Politik. This was a German text published in 1927, and this author is writing again in the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, published prior to the 1930s. So it gives you a little idea. This is before the creation of this illegitimate nation state that Boxer rocks on the shores of the Mediterranean that's now known as Israel. Israel. Zionism is the Jewish national movement which has at its aim the reestablishment of Palestine as a Jewish nation state. It originated in the 19th century among the Jews of Eastern and Central Europe. 19th century. Numerous currents and different shades of opinion have developed within the Zionist movement, and its origins, too, are traceable to a complexity of factors. Although the organized form of political Zionism, strictly speaking, had its beginning in Central Europe, the intellectual and spiritual background, as well as the mass support of Zionism, came from the Jews of Eastern Europe. Two movements were of particular importance in providing the intellectual milieu for the development of modern Jewish nationalism. Chassidism, or Chassidism, a pietistic and mystical religious movement, proclaimed the value of the uneducated, intellectually untrained masses as against the upper classes of merchants and scholars. Chassidism. It thus acted as a democratic force in raising the self-esteem of the lower classes. You could see there, perhaps, the kernel of the writings of Karl Mordecai Marx and Friedrich Engels, the idea of labor versus the bourgeoisie, the uneducated and intellectually untrained masses as against the upper classes of merchants and scholars. You see. It thus acted again as a democratic force in raising the self-esteem of the lower classes, paralleling Hasidism. Came the Haskalah, or the Jewish Enlightenment movement, which, originating in the larger cities and among the upper classes of society, and touched by the influences of Western European Enlightenment, helped to break down the traditional Orthodox structure of Jewish society and opened the way to new careers, to secular learning, and to participation in the general movement of European ideas. Both movements brought about a newly awakened individualism and instigated a break with the rigid traditionalism of the past. Out of their influence followed the regeneration of Judaism in the 19th century. A new vigorous activity in all fields of social and cultural life, and the birth of a modern Jewish literature in the Hebrew, Yiddish, and various European languages. And that's important. Coming up into Yiddish and New Hebrew. Although Zionism is a modern nationalist movement, it may be viewed as a continuation of the age-old longing of the Jews for a restoration to their homeland from which Zionism drew its enthusiasm and religious fervor. The Jews had been one of the few peoples in antiquity possessed of a strong racial and national consciousness. Certainly, as we'll find tomorrow, continue this then, there is very little to say about race. The intermarrying that went on, it's very difficult to say race when you're talking about Judaism. It's not a race at all. It's a belief system. It's a socio-political, theological belief system. Has little or nothing to do with race, the chosen people, nonsense, balderdash. Completely bunk. Geneticists could confirm that in a minute. After the destruction of the comparatively short-lived Jewish state in Palestine, the intense national feeling of the Jews survived with undiminished fervor for nearly 2,000 years. You have to go back and understand the Hebrew, the people from the other side. Read about it in the Bible. The genocide that was waged upon those coastal and central mountain people as the Hebrew came into the area. It was a gift from anybody. It was a gift from the sword. Hardly from God, but that's my biased opinion. Anyway, continuing, it dominated their daily prayers, their philosophical and juridical teachings, and their poetry. Juridical. In almost every century of the exile, messianic leaders arose to gather the Jews from the ends of the earth and to redeem the land of Israel. National and religious life formed an indissoluble unity in Judaism. Both culminated in one hope, the return to Zion, that mountain, Jerusalem, Salem, the city of David, if you will, Mogan David, all of that. And there have been lots of admixtures, I guess you could say, that idea of the hook-nosed, bulbous-nosed Jew, as we studied in our text, History of World Civilization, Edward McNall Burns, months ago. We found that it was not the Jews, so to speak, not the Hebrews that have that bulbous hook nose. It was the people that were known as the Hittites who came down and lived amongst the Jewry, if you will, and intermarried amongst them. Even in their sculpture and in their artwork, you can see they're pronounced proboscis. They're big beak noses, so that's where that came from. Continuing, it says here, national and religious life formed an indissoluble unity in Judaism. Both culminated in one hope, the return to Zion. In medieval fashion, however, this political ideal had been expressed in religious terms and its realization made dependent upon the will and the grace of God. Zionism represents in modern form a continuation of this deeply rooted feeling of national consciousness among the Jews. Of course, as I said earlier, Israel, the nation state, the UN creation, Lord Balfour, the Rothschilds, Theodore Herzl, etc., is largely an Ashkenazim stronghold. The people are not even Jewish in origin, basically just an admixture, people who took on the garment, if you will. Zionism as a political and secular movement arose among the secularized Jewish intelligentsia of Central Europe as a reaction, economic and political factors, but it quickly became the form into which was cast the medieval religious Zionist fervor of the Eastern European and Oriental Jews. And we're going to get into Shabtai Zvi, perhaps tomorrow, for sure, tomorrow. Time allows, it will allow. I'll make sure it allows, so that we understand who Shabtai Zvi is, and what is labor Zionism, and what is this messianic ideal that believes that from the greatest evil can come the greatest good. They did not look upon the 2,000 years as an irrelevant development, a cause for shame, but recognized in the lack of territorial concentration and of governmental power the possibilities of a higher and humanly more progressive form of organization. They even looked with suspicion upon the romantic traits of Zionism, but those currents of diaspora nationalism never exercised as powerful an attraction upon Jewry as did Zionistic nationalism. They lacked the power of appeal which Zionism drew from the whole Jewish past and from its promise of a fulfillment of the messianic longing for the reestablishment of the splendor of the kingdom of David, even if it looks more like Hollywood or Disney World today. Well, that's about all for today. Hope you've enjoyed, learned something from today's broadcast. I'll be back again tomorrow, and until then, thanks for listening and good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.